We left off last week, so we were beginning to discuss the sugya of kesuse mechtesh yurei. The Gemara tells us that every time you're dealing with a cheftza shel iser hana vis-a-vis a mitzvah, whether you're dealing with being yaitzi the mitzvah of lula, whether you're dealing with being yaitzi the mitzvah of shofar, whether you're dealing with using for chalitza, all of the above, there are always multiple questions that have to be asked. First and foremost, you have to ask yourself, is what I'm doing a violation of Isuri Hana? So that was pretty much what we spoke about two or three weeks ago, that for the most part, that's not such a concern, because we can always hide behind mitzvah slavi honas nitnu, that the Hana, a mitzvah that a person gets, the mere fulfillment of the mitzvah, doesn't really register as being a prohibition of Hana. We spent a lot of time talking about sometimes there are tangential problems. Sometimes there's hanos agufs that are accompanying the hanos mitzvah that could potentially raise a red flag. But putting that aside, mitzvah the hanos mitzvah pretty much carries the day. But then there was a secondary problem that the Gemara raised in Sukkot and Rosh Hashanah and in Yevamos, and that's the issue of kesusim echdesh yurim. Some isuri hanah are not just asav hanah, but actually tone ibud min ha'olam. You have to destroy them. You have to be sorif them. For example, Ashera, Yoridachas, certain kinds of Avodah Zarah, which have to be destroyed, and they have to be destroyed, then that raises a whole nother problem about the Yetzir Mitzvah with that object, because many Chafatzim Shal Mitzvah, including a Lulav, including a Shofar, including a Chalitza Shul, have a Shear connected to them. They have to be a certain size, and since they have to be a certain size, you can't really view something that's Ton Sreifa as having that size, having that Shear. We say that susim echdeshura, that the item is as if it's already consumed, it's already burnt, it's already like a pile of ashes, and as a pile of ashes, it's not the shir, it's not a shofar, it's not a shir of a lulav, it's not a shir of a shofar, not a shir of a chalitza shil, and that would pose a problem. So that was the thrust of the sugya that we left off with last week, where the Gemara says very clearly that if and when you're dealing with those kinds of isurana, not only isurana are subject to that rule of susim echdeshura, but if and when it meets the criteria for applying that rule, and that's going to pose a problem. And again, the Gemara said it's going to pose a problem in terms of lulav and esrog, in terms of shofar, in terms of chalitza shil. Those are the three, four different sugyas that we spoke about a little bit. But then at the very end of the shil, we can raise the following question. And we want to fine-tune a little by this principle of ksusei mechtashur and when not, depending on what exactly the shiur is really all about. There are actually two different kinds of shiurim in halacha. There are certain objective shiurim that really don't correspond to anything that we can relate to. There's nothing really of olam hazeh. Shiurim, halacha mashma sina. That's it. Let's say for argument's sake, a lulav has to be this size. Don't ask any kashas, don't philosophize. Why? It doesn't correspond to anything physical. Shofar has to be this size. This has to be that size. Many, many shiurim are like that. But then there are other kinds of shiurim that are not like that. Other kinds of shiurim that the shiur is a reflection of a certain physical reality that has to be met. I have to have a certain physical reality to be present in order to be yaitzei the mitzvah, and this is the way of measuring that physical reality. Do I have enough of that physical reality? Do I have enough of that precondition necessary to be yaitzei the mitzvah? Is it there? So I have to be able to measure it. I have to be able to put a number on it. So did I fulfill that physical criteria that's necessary in order for the mitzvah to be acceptable? So memela there's a shiur, but the shiur is something that's more of a reflection of a physical reality than it is of an objective halachic criteria. My nafkir, at the end of the day, you need the shiur. Who cares? So one could argue that ksusa mech the shiur really only lends itself to a halachic shiur. When the shiur is purely halachic in nature, so then you can argue we're in the world of the halachic universe, we're in a different world, different realm, different sphere right now. We're discussing halachic reality. In the world of halachic reality, so then ksusim echdeshure is a halachic reality statement that an item is viewed through the eyes of halach as being burnt already. If it's burnt already, then it's chasr d'shir. So easy come, easy go. If the shir was needed up din, then ksusim echdeshure is going to undermine that presence of the shir. But if all we're talking about is a shir that's necessary to meet certain physical preconditions, I met the physical world reality. The reality is, ask your person who's not a bentor, not a lambda, ask him, is the physical, were the physical conditions met? The answer is, of course they were met. But I'll pin din, it's ksusim echdeshur. What does that pin din have to do with anything? If it's purely a physical reality, so the physical reality is governed by the physical rules, the halachic universe is governed by the halachic rules. So if we're dealing with a type of a shir that's purely halachic and conceptual in nature, then the conceptual principle of ksusim echdeshur can undermine that shir. But if you're dealing with something which is anyway physical in nature, why should the halachic reality pose a problem for something that was never really needed in the halachic world whatsoever? So rather than talking in riddles and halachic worlds and physical worlds, let's see if we can bring this down to a real life example, a real kind of a shir that may or may not be subject to submit shir based on what we're saying. So let's go back to a Tosfos, back in the Lamed Amud Aleph from Maseches Sukkah. It's a Tosfos that we read many, many times in previous Gulgulim, about 8, 9, 10 months ago when we first started learning a little bit about Gozol. It's an important Tosfos on so many different levels. We'll just put things back into perspective for a moment. Back at the Lamed Amud Aleph was the first time we were introduced to the principle of mitzvah b'abi aveira. An item that's subject to the psula mitzvah b'aveira is problematic. I cannot use that for a mitzvah. And again, we spoke so much about that. Is that a din d'oraisa? Is that a din d'rabbanan? Is only by kochim by other mitzvahs, certain mitzvahs? Yeah, so much. Is it a gavra? Is it a chepta? All the tayrus that we spoke about months ago, mitzvah b'aveira. But when all the dust settles, that's the din. Mitzvah b'aveira is a problem. That was the reason why a lulav agozel is actually possible for two reasons. It's possible because it's lacking lachem, and it's possible because of mitzvah b'aveira. So Tosfos of Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, in the top Tosfos, Tirei Maaseh Mishum, it's where the lines get thin in the Tosfos, about 4 or 5 lines down from where the thin lines begin. It's the end of the line, Vim Toimer. It's a little dot from Kivagra, it's Vim Toimer. The command de paslid on lulav shel asheira, v'shel irani dachas, v'shum de mechta shirim. Argamar. Tosfos makes reference to Argamar that speaks about a lulav shel asheira being a problem, and a lulav from an irni dachas being a problem. And the Gemara says the reason why these are problematic is because of ksus demech teshirin. Frektosis, teipuk lei mishum mitzvah b'abi aveira. Why doesn't the Gemara simply disqualify these types of lulavim? Because the mitzvah b'abi aveira, after all, an aveira was done, somebody bowed down to this item, so that's an aveira. So how could I use a lulav that was never as a vidizara, as an asherah? Why isn't that covered by mitzvah b'abi aveira? Then Tosfos makes the question even stronger. Agamar says explicitly that certain kinds of Avodah Zarah trees are in fact not possible. Avodah Zarah, shall Yisrael, shall Akum, is it subject to Bittul? Did Bittul happen already? So there are ways to finagle around that even though a certain tree was worshipped, even though a terrible Aveira was done to this tree, there are some scenarios with Lubas Tekakoshim. So now Tosfos makes the question even stronger. So Tosfos says, why is the Gemara drawing a sukkah with the svar of ksusim mechta shiurei and figuring out which of it is our trees have that problem, which don't? Says Tosfos, stop. I have a much more simple psul. I have an all-encompassing psul. Call it mitzvah b'abi aveira. Every asherah tree, every of it is our tree, should automatically be possible as a mitzvah b'abi aveira. So Tosfos says, we made a big, big mistake in the formulation of that question. It says Taisus Vyeshloimar, to lo domi le gezel, the machmas aveiras a gezel bo ha mitzvah shiyotzi bo. Aval hani, otu machmas aveiras shinasis bo minofi mei. It says Taisus, you completely misunderstood what mitzvah aveira is. Mitzvah aveira does not mean that an aveira was done to this cheftza. Just because an aveira was done to this item at one time in history, that has no bearing on whether you can use it for a mitzvah or not. What mitzvah b'aveira means is that the aveira that was done is now an enabler. It is enabling me to perform the mitzvah. Without this aveira being done, I would have had great difficulty performing this mitzvah. So now there's a relationship between the aveira and the kiyum mitzvah. That's a problem. That's a red flag in the sugya mitzvah b'aveira. So Tosfos, a lulav hagozel is mitzvah b'aveira. You know why? If I wouldn't have stolen the lulav, I wouldn't have it. The guy didn't want to sell me the lulav. He wasn't interested in lending me and giving me the lulav. The only way for me to get that lulav was to do an aveira of gezela. So the aveira of gezela is what is helping me, quote unquote, do my mitzvah. It's only because I did an aveira of gezela that now I can go ahead and do lekach demlechem. So that's when Halacha steps in and says, sorry, that's a flag down on the play. That's a problem. That's a mitzvah b'aveira. But just because 6 months ago some meshugan a guy bowed down to a tree in his backyard, what does it have to do with me on Sukkos? He said, how in the world does that aveira impact? Am I fulfilling the mitzvah? How is that low? It's lo malav lo merid. that aveira of avodah zarah that was done to this chafza, that is not impacting kiyuzeh on my ability to fulfill the mitzvah, and that is not called mitzvah of avodah. That's the klal gadol from Tosfos. Now, not only should I agree to this Tosfos, but this is the yesod ha-yesodos of Tosfos. That is what defines mitzvah avodah and what is not mitzvah avodah. It's with this background that now Tosfos poses the next question, which is going to take us to really our part of the sugya. Tosfos continues, umiyu. The Mishnah says later on that an esrog from an asherah tree is puzzle, and the Gemara asks why. So there are two different girsos in the Gemara's. One girs in the Gemara was, my time up, mishum dehavale mitzvah b'aveira. So there's one text that appears in the Svarim that the reason why an esrog shel asherah is puzzle is dafka because of mitzvah b'aveira. Tosfos says that's a disaster, that girsa. Because if that girsa is correct, and that undermines our entire theory. Because Tosfos' entire theory was that mitzvah of the aveira only applies when the aveira is leading to the mitzvah. Here, this is not leading to the mitzvah. The fact that someone should have worshipped this asherah tree 6 months ago, that doesn't enable me, that doesn't help, doesn't assist me to fulfill the mitzvah. So if that girsa is right, Tosfos is in big trouble. So it's either Tosfos or the girsa. Tosfos says the girsa is wrong. And Tosfos says, we'll prove to you that the girsa is wrong. Here's the proof. The girsa mishubashasi, that cannot be the correct girsa. Why? Because the reason why an esrog is puzzle for if it's shel asheira is for a much simpler reason. Elatayim mishum demechta shiurei. Tosfos says, I'll tell you why an esrog is puzzle. Because of kesusa mechta shiurei. So Tosfos says, that's the real emissary girsa. That happens to be the girsa that appears in Asvarim as well, unlike that quote-unquote girsa mishubashas of Tosfos. Don't think it was a total mistake in girsa. The Raivin had the girsa. The Rishonim had the girsa. But Tosfos machs back the girsa. Tosfos, the girsa is not right. So Tosfos says the reason why we're convinced the girsa is not right is because we have a real reason why esrog shel asherah is puzzle. The emissary reason is because of kesusa mechta shiurei. So now Tosfos starts to get very, very nervous. Why? Because in order for Tosfos to reject that girsa, they have to be 100% convinced that kesusa mechta shiurei is a valid reason to disqualify an esrog shel asherah. And Tosfos is not 100% convinced yet. Why? Because Tosfos continues as follows: Alatayim mishum mechta shiurei, the esrog nami boy shir ke'egazel kebeitza. Tosfos says, after all, it sounds like we're okay. Sounds like we're right. Because after all, the Mishnah does there is a shiur for an esrog. If an esrog is smaller than either a nut or a beit, machlis after noyim, it's smaller than a ke'egazel or kebeitza. So then the esrog would not be acceptable. So Tosfos says, if so, that there is a shiur for an esrog. So it sounds like it's a no-brainer. So it sounds like it makes perfect sense why kesusim echtashir applies. So Tosfos is good. If Tosfos would stop right now, they'd be in very, very good position. Because again, the goal of this Tosfos really is to explain that mitzvah babi aveira doesn't apply unless the aveira is facilitating the mitzvah. They have that girsa mishubeshes that they have to get rid of. The only way to get rid of that girsa mishubeshes is to come up with a really good, creative, valid reason to disqualify an esrog shel asherah. And Tosfos is pretty convinced that they have one. It's called kesusa mechta shiurei. And they even just showed you, and by the way, don't tell me there's no shiur for an esrog. There is a shiur for an esrog. So it sounds like Tosfos is in a good position. So if I was about to let stop and I was ahead, I would stop right now. Tosfos was about to were intellectually honest. And the Balei Tosfos now say, wait a second. We're not so sure that we're right. Now let's not forget the ramifications of Tosfos not being right is that they're going to have to bring back that girsa mishubeshes, which is the last thing they want to do. So Tosfos says, well, we're not sure we're right. Why? Because even though there is a shiur for an esrog, we are not so sure that that shiur for an esrog lends itself to kesusa mechta shiurei. And why is that? Let's go back to the Tosfos. The af al gav, the amrid on the kamon, time of mishum delo gmar peira. Tosfos says, wait a second. Why is there a shiur for an esrog in the first place? Where did that come from? Why does an esrog have to be more than the size of a nut or more the size of a kibetza? So the Gemara says a little bit later on, at least according to one understanding of the Gemara, the reason is because if it's too small, then the esrog is not really ripe. And if it's not ripe, it can't be called a pre. It has to be called a pre-etzadar. It has to be an edible, complete, ripe fruit. And if it's too small, that's indicative that it's not quite a Gemara pre yet, and that's why it's possible. So now Tosfos is in big trouble. Why? Now Tosfos senses that they're going to have trouble now presenting to us to Tosfos mechta shiurei. what's bothering Taisus? What's chippering Taisus? Taisus says that the real reason why an esrog is possible if it's shel hasheir because it's kusmek the shirin. And we all know there's a shear of an esrog, ke'egaz or kebeitza. And now Taisus v'afogav. Taisus is getting nervous. What are they getting nervous about? I'll tell you exactly what they're getting nervous about. Is that, wait a second, hold the phone. If the whole reason for the shear of an esrog is just to make sure that it's ripe, what kind of shear is that? The buddy says, go back. How do we start off the shear tonight? What are the two kinds of shearim? There were some shearim that are objectively halachic universe in the halachic universe. And then the other shearim that is simply a reflection of Adam Hazeh. The shear of an esrog being an egaz or kibetza is clearly a physical shear. It's not a halachic shear, haraya. It's only there to ascertain that we have gemar pri. So if I have this 100,000% ripe esrog, it's a beautiful 1,000% ripe esrog. It's just that it happens to not have a shear. You know why? Because the ksusim ech the shiure says to us, so what? Why is that a problem? Why is that called ksusim ech the shiure? So by the fact that Taisus is now raising a red flag and saying, wait a second, we're not so sure that ksusim ech the shiure applies to the shivan esrog because the shivan esrog is physical in nature. You see from this Taisus that Taisus took a helm like that tzad and achakir. Taisus held. Now you only say ksusim ech the shiure on halachic shiurim, not on physical shiurim. That's what's chepering Taisus. That's what Taisus is bothered. That's what Taisus is losing sleep now. Because they just realized, based on the Gemara, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, that the time of Mishum Delo Gemar Pira. So Taisus is not willing to give up yet. Taisus is clearly holding that we're in serious problems. We have a serious question about applying ksusim ech the shiure here. Which again is going to throw off the whole theory, and then it's going to have to bring back the gifts of Mishabeshus, which is the last thing Taisus wants to do. So Taisus got to get a ksusim ech the shiure into here. So Taisus says, I'm going to tell you why ksusim ech the shiure. Not because of the shear of kizak egaz or kibetza. That's not the reason. That's not going to do the trick. Why won't that do the trick? Because that's a shear mitzias, not a shear in halacha. So Taka, what is the shear of an esrog that will be a pose a problem with the shearing? So Taisus continues. Mikamakom ba'ina demenka lekichasa demehaytaim epaslidun lekamon pilpulin. Taisus makes reference to a sugya and daf lamed hey and aleph. So we have to go back. Let's go to that gemara for a moment. Read that gemara inside and see where that gemara is going to become pivotal in terms of Taisus' argument. So we'll put Taisus on hold right now. Taisus sounded like a shear of mitzias isn't going to do the trick. And now they're once again back to the drawing board for shear and halacha in order to plug in ksusim ech the shiure. So in doing so, they discovered a gemara in Daf Lamed Hey. Let's take a look at the gemara. The gemara says, Tana Rabban, the top of Lamed Hey, with Aleph. Tana Rabban, pri eitz adar, eitz shetam eitz upirio shave, havi emez esrig. The phrase pri eitz adar has the connotation that the bark of the tree, the eights of the tree, also has to some degree the tam of the pre. And the Gemara says, what kind of a tree has tam she eights of pre yoshave? Have you an esrog? So an esrog is the tree, or at least one of the trees out there that meets that criteria of pre eights other tam she eights of pre yoshave. It's interesting, just in the world of machshava, let's not forget that actually all trees were supposed to be that. That was the original plan. The eight I sapriya shazara bodhminos of Ashik Rosh Chumash, that was what the Kodesh Baruch Hu ultimately wanted for everything, except that none of the other trees wanted to listen. Again, it's obviously deep esoteric. Anything has to do with Mike Sapracious is all by definition deep and esoteric. But the only tree that somehow followed the rules was the Esrog tree. So again, what the meaning of all that is, why the Esrog tree was chosen to be the mitzvah for Lulav, beyond the scope right now. But that idea that an esrog tree is a pre-eitz adar, so that the Gemara says the fairish. Time eitz a pre-eitz adar. So he asks the Gemara, wait a second. An esrog tree is not the only tree that's time eitz a pre-eitz adar. The aim of pilpulin, maybe the pepper tree as well. Now some of you are probably wondering, pepper is one side. Unless we check peppers growing on the ground, the bar pre-adama. We're not talking about green peppers and red peppers. It's talking about the black pepper. It's talking about peppercorns. Things that grow on trees, on bushes. So comes the Gemara and says, maybe the pilpulin is what you take on Sukkos. Imagine a new din. Imagine a person walks to the shul first day Sukkos. He's holding a little black pepper in his hand. So the aim of pilpulin, And after all, we already have a source to know that Pilklin are also Tama Eitzah Pirashava, Kedisanya. Hay Rabbi Meir Oimer, Mimash Pashinama Unatatam Kol Eitz, Ein Yodeshi Eitz Machol, Matab Lova Eitz Machol, Eitzatam Eitzah Pirashava. So the Torah is clearly, when it's talking about the parish of Oral, it's clearly discussing fruit trees. The Torah says, Shoa Shom Yela Arem Lo Yochel. So obviously we're talking about eating the fruit. So why does the Torah have to say Unatatam Kol Eitz Machol? To teach us that even a tree that's an Eitz Machol, namely even a tree that's Eitz Tam, Eitz Apir Shaveh, is also Chayiv and Orla. What kind of a tree could the Torah possibly be coming to include? Haviyam is a pilpulin, that's coming to include the peppers. That the pepper trees, I would have thought that those whole big black peppers that grow on these bushes, I would have thought that's not included in Orla. Kamash Balan, Tam Eitz Ketab Apri, since pilpulin are also Tam Eitz Ketab Apri, therefore they're also included in Orla. Why in the world would I have thought that they're not included in Orla? What was it about peppers that don't lend themselves to Orla? Why do I need a special pasuk to be in Orla? That's the machlekes that we shared, machlekes Rashi tells on the daf here. Rashi learns because they grow on very, very low bushes. So I would have thought that maybe a bush is not called a tree. Kamash Balan, it's not true. Taisa says maybe the Havamina was because pepper, by the time you get to eating the fruit, nobody really eats the fruit of the peppers. You really crush them up and dry them out and you turn them into pepper spices or something. So I would have thought that that's not really Orla. Kamash Balan, that's also Orla. So whatever the Havamina was, the Maisa, the Maskanis Advarim is, the Pasuk comes to be Marbe, that there's Orla and peppers also. And the reason, the engine that's driving this Russia is once again the same idea of Eitz Tama Pri, Tama Eitz Ketama Pri. So comes the Gemara and says, Oba Zoya, that's true that peppers are also called Tama Eitz Ketama Pri. So maybe peppers should be the mitzvah for Sukkos. How do you know the Katlechem Pri Eitzah? That means an Esrog, maybe it's a pepper. Let's skip down a little bit to the first word line is klum. So that's seven or eight lines down. The other line, Hasa the verse says no. There's no way that the Kavanas Atera could have been a pepper tree. Again, either an Esrog or a pepper tree, those are the two trees we know that meet the criteria of Tama Eitz Ketama Pri, but it's impossible that that should have been the intent of the Torah. Why? Because Hechin Abed, what would the mitzvah of taking a pepper look like? Ninkot Chada, the Torah would have said you take one little pepper, that's the whole mitzvah. Lominkro l'kichasa. It wouldn't appear like you take anything. Again, I never saw peppers growing on a tree. Apparently, they're significantly smaller than a regular. So if you just take a little ball, a little two-by-nothing pepper, that would be the mitzvah of l'kachtem l'chem b'yam rishon. That wouldn't be called l'kachtem l'chem b'yam rishon because it wouldn't be ninkara, it wouldn't be nika l'kichosa. It wouldn't be a l'kicha. In order to be a l'kicha, it's got to be a mikeres, that's a l'kicha. So therefore, it cannot be the kavanah satar was the small pepper. Go trail plaza. Maybe the Kavanah Satara was to take a whole handful of peppers, take five peppers. Look, it cannot be that was the Kavanah Satara because the Torah says pre Lashon Yochid, not Lashon Rabbim. So by default, the only other tree available that produces a pre that's eight tam eight shaveh is an Esrog tree. So we can breathe a sigh of relief, Baruch Hashem, for the last 3,300 years we've been taking the right fruit. We're taking yellow asregim, not black peppers. Fine, but we're good to go. So Taisus looked at this Gemara and said, you know what this Gemara just told us? The Gemara just told us that if you take something that's not nikeras l'kichasa, you're not really eating it. There's a shear that an esrog has to be. It has to be nikeras l'kichasa. It has to be something that's visual, something that's visible. That you take, if it's so small, it gets stuck in the palm of your hand, there's ois mitzvah. That's not called the keres l'kichasa. And this is clearly a dimin haTorah because the Gemara is deriving it from Psukim, and the Gemara is saying that this is part of how Chazal figured out that the esrog is the esrog, it's not the pilpulin. The Rabbi writes, as I've done with the Bereshit Mishnayos, that all these drushes about how to figure out what an esrog is, these are all after the fact. Namely, we know exactly what an esrog is because the Kodesh Baruch Hu told to Moshe Rabbeinu, we have Miseri Ishri Pish at Moshe Rabbeinu what an esrog is. But even if you lost that Masera, you can reconstruct it from Psukim. So the Psukim are real. The Psukim are serious. The drushes are there. It can also teach me that a Yesrug is an Esrug. So this is a Dinder Aksa. If I was on a desert island and I wouldn't have this Masera, I have no idea what to take. If I knew how to learn Chumash properly, I could figure it out on my own. It's got to be Tam Eitz Apir Shaveh. If the botanists tell me there are only two trees that qualify as this, either an Esrog tree or a Pilpulin tree, Pilpulin tree fails us because it's Chasr in standing Keres L'Kichasr. So this is a Din Min HaTorah B'Keres L'Kichasr. Taisha says, that's the Shear of Esrog Min HaTorah. And that's what Ksis Bechtashir kicks in. That's Taisa's conclusion. So again, Taisa was searching high and low to try to figure out what's the Shia for Esrog that lends itself to Ksis Bechtashir. So Taisa said, first they thought it was the Shia Ke'egas. Taisa says, no, the Shia Ke'egas Kebeitz is not a good Shia because that's a physical Shia, that's not a halachic Shia. So then Taisa says, oh, and what's the Shia? The Shia is Nikas the Gichos. That's big enough that you could see it. Doss is the Shira. Now Ksis Bechtashira makes perfect sense. Ad kan devir tesis. This tesis is pili ploy min chilos av yad soifim. Rabbi say, what's the problem with this tesis? There's a stira glui in this tesis. There's a stira glui from one line to the next. The reason why tesis disqualified Ke'egas of Kebeitz as being the Shira to create a problem Ksis Bechtashira because it was physical in nature. This new Shia that Taisa just dug up from the Flamed Hay of Nikas and Kichasa, that's Vaita. It's also physical in nature. So the same way that Taisa was not so excited about applying Susimech to Shiurei to Shiurim that are merely physical and not halachic, why did Taisa feel so comfortable applying Susimech to Shiurei to the Shia of Nikas and Kichasa, which is also, it's just as physical as the other Shia was. So I don't say the Taisa. Chlad didn't understand the Taisus. The whole Taisus B'chai didn't understand. So B'chora, we have to go back to the drawing board, go back to this Taisus again, and start the Taisus over again. We don't have to start from the total from the beginning yet, but let's pick it up from Elataim HaMishim Nemech Tashira. The first word line was Mishubashasi. The Taisus is searching for an appropriate reason why Ksus Mech Tashira should disqualify an Esrog. The afal gav, the amrin on the kamon, time shum logum apair. What does that mean? The afal gav. What was Tosa's hesitation? We thought the hesitation of Tosa's was. This is a shear of metzius. A physical world, not a shir of halacha, and those kinds of shirim don't lend themselves to a mech tashira. That's what we thought Taisa's hesitation was. But perhaps we misread the Taisa. That wasn't really what was bothering Taisa. The chlal, that wasn't what was bothering Taisa. What was bothering Taisa was something totally different. What was bothering Taisa was this idea of gemar peri, that you have to have a fully ripe fruit. This idea appears in Sukha Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis in two contexts. It appears in the context of size of an esrog, and appears in the context of color of an esrog. Let's take a look at Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis and see how the two sugyas Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis is questioning whether there's a real din of hadar on an esrog. Even though the Torah describes an esrog as a pre-etz hadar, is that almost the name of the species? Or is there really a din of beauty that an esrog has to be hadar? If not hadar, it's going to be possible. The Gemara is not so sure there's a din of hadar on an esrog. Let's pick it up from the low by hadar. It's the first word line is Yehuda. So right smack in the middle of the page. The end of the line. The low by hadar, is it true that you don't need hadar? Could somebody really argue that you don't need hadar on an esrog? Banan tanan, hayarka karasi. If you have a green esrog, let me translate to Imam, a green esrog. The reason why Rabbi Yehuda apostles the esrog that's green, why is it? Isn't it because it's not hadar? So look at an esrog, it's supposed to be yellow, it's supposed to be green. So isn't that a lack of hadar? Which says, hello, we should look at my payer up. No. The reason why the green esrog is possible is because it's not ripe. That's the reason why. So you can't really call it a pre. That's the reason why it's not acceptable. So it's not a chisarn of hadar, it's chisarn in the shame pre. Where goes on, Toshma, Shia Esrog Katan, how big must an Esrog be? Rabbi Meir, Emek Egez, Rabbi Kibetza. Lamishim Dvay Hadar. Isn't the reason why a small Esrog is possible because of a lack of Hadar? No. Loi, you should look my parent. The same Pizman. No, that's a different reason. It's a different Chisaron. That's because of the same story of Gemar Peir. So the Gemar uses the phrase Gemar Peir in two different contexts. One addressing the minimum size of an Esrog, and one addressing the color of the esrog. They're both potential disqualifications of Gemar Peir. So Tosfos has a line on Daf Amud Aleph Amud Beis that opens up our eyes, both in terms of the lumdus of the sugya as well as halacha maisa for us. We take a look at the Tosfos of Divrei Masechta Hayarok. It's the very end of the Tosfos. It's the third line from the end of the Tosfos. The first word of the line is V'chad. It's Divrei Masechta Hayarok to the end of the line. V'osam esrogim ha'boim l'fenem yirokim kikarsim. Tosfos says we have loads of esrogim that are green. Most of us take esrogim that are green, or at least partially green. The Gemara just said it's possible. The Gemara just said Pamoli it's possible. How can you take a green esrog? Tosfos says, nah, they're all kosher. A green esrog, my kosher one. Sherem afil Rabbi Yehuda. They're totally kosher. You know why? Kishachozim v'marish aras regim afil betolosh. Lach sheshel v'kliz man meruba. The vadig ma'peirim. Says Tosfos, the green esrogim that Chazal were disqualifying were esrogim that mamish was so not ripe, they're never going to ripen. You yank them off the tree so early in their development that if you leave them out from today to tomorrow, they're never going to turn yellow. Aris rogim will turn yellow. You just leave it out for a couple of days, they're going to turn yellow. So even though right now it's not yellow, it's still called Gemar Pri. Gemar Pri means it has to grow a certain amount on the tree that it has the ability to ripen fully. But if it was yanked off the tree before it reaches that point, that's the Yerek HaKarsi of Chazal. But if that's not it, if it's not the chisoron of Yerek HaKarsi, if it's not a chisoron of lack of my preach, it's lemaisa right now, it's green, but to turn yellow very soon, it's kosher even now. And that's what the Minhag HaOlam is. Everybody relies on this tesis. Most people rely on this tesis. The post can write that you can use a green esrog as long as it's starting to turn yellow a little bit. My hat, post make it start. Why does that solve the problem? It's starting to turn yellow. The post can write, if it's starting to turn yellow, even a little bit, that's a raya brewer, that it's a ripe esrog. It's a raya brewer that it grew enough on the tree to turn ripe. All right, it's already turning yellow. So that's what the Minhag HaOlam is that if you have a mamasha, really, really hardcore green esrog that hasn't turned at all, then we get a little bit nervous. But as long as it's starting already, it's in the process of turning yellow, the Minhag HaOlam is to be Megill, based on this Tosfos, because that is called Gemar Pri, because the whole Chisaron was Gemar Pri. Just as an aside, there was some Rishayim who held that green is Regim Apostle, not just because of lack of Gemar Pri, the Apostle, but the other reason the Gemar thought of Hadr. Remember, the Gemar here was pupiling, is there a Din of Hadr or not a Din of Hadr? We Paskin, there is a Chisaron of Hadr at an Esrei. Therefore, some Rishayim say, we who paskin that there is a chisar of hadam in a Torah and an esrog, a green esrog is possible even without the chisar of Gemar Pri. If that's the case, that there is that additional psul of an esrog that's yarug because it's a lack of hadar, we should say, wait a second, how much of the esrog can be not hadar? None of it. The whole esrog's got to be hadar. Maybe if you have a tiny spot of green on the bottom of the esrog, maybe that won't be a problem. So of Hadar, even small spots can pose a problem. So that's the source for a famous Chumrah. Some more Machmer, it's known as the Mishnah Yaakov's Chumrah. It's not Mishnah Yaakov is the one who popularized, but it already appears in some Rishonim, who said that you should take an esrog with absolutely no green on it. Because if there's any green on it, Tosfos Shtikl Torah was only true because Tosfos was working with the psul being a psul of Gemar Pri. But we, Zach the Bashir Yaakov, Cheshish, we had the Rishainim, there's an additional psul of Hadar also. Kabal, the psul of Hadar, even the smallest amount of green is going to pose a problem. So even if it's 99% turning yellow, it's got a green spot on it, it's possible enough Torah. Now, the Minigrad was not that way. Some people are Machbid to look for 100% top to bottom yellow as Regim, but most people are not Machbid on that. If you look at some of the Ushpiz and pictures on the sukkah, some of these certain gedolim who are looking at green esrogim, but it's not clear are they looking at their own esrogim or they're looking for other people's. I can't tell you. There's a famous picture of Yasha looking at esrog. Clearly, there's green on that esrog, but I can't tell you whether it's his esrog or he's postulating for the people who want to rely on Tosfos. That I don't know. But back to that story. So what do you see from this Tosfos? You see Gevald Gevor from this Tosfos that dinim that emanate from Gemar Pri. We can change those dinim, so to speak. It means even if they're, I don't mean literally change, but even if they're quote-unquote puzzle because it's the wrong color, no, that's okay. As long as we have inside information that the wrong color is not indicative of a problem, then there's no problem. Gemar Pri is not an absolute problem. Gemar Pri is 90% of the time problem. Gemar Pri is a barometer measurement. If we can figure out that even though it's Yerek Karsi, but we figured out the botanist told us that it's already Gemar Pri, we already, the Ramah already told us it's already Gemar Pri because it's turning yellow, so we're going to ignore the quote-unquote psul of Yerek Karsi. So these psulim that emanate from Gemar Pri, says Taisis, are not real psulim. The real psul is Gemar Pri. These are, if you want to call, invoke Lamdusha terminology, these are not sivas, these are simons. The greenness of an esrog is a simon that it's not a Gemar Pri. But it's not a pulso per se. If that's true when it comes to the color of the esrog, then it's probably equally true when it comes to the size of the esrog as well. Because the Gemara lumped these two psulim together. It's the same sugya. The Gemara says, is it another? No, it's Gemar Pri. Is it another? No, it's Gemar Pri. So it could be that just as vis-a-vis the psul of colors, Tosfos didn't take the psulim too seriously, the psul of colors. Colors is just a way of measuring, it's a barometer test whether we have a problem with Gemar Pri. The same is true when it comes to the size. If I have an esrog that's taka not the right size, it's taka too small. But I know for a fact that it's Gemar Pri. I have some other inside value. Oh, nobody told me it's Gemar Pri, so it's kosher. The same way that I say greenest regimen kosher, if you know for a fact that Gemar Pri. So smallest regimen also kosher. So that's why Tosfos and Naflamid refuse to apply Ksusim Echta Shiure to the Shia of Ke'egaz or Kebeitza. That's what Tosfos' hesitation was. Tosfos' hesitation wasn't, it's a Shia, but it's a physical Shia. No. Tosfos' hesitation was, it's not even a Shia. It's a joke, the Shia of Ke'egaz or Kebeitza. It's not even a Shia altogether. It's just a way, it's a measuring rod, it's a barometer to see is it Gemar Pri. But if you know it's Gemar Pri, what's for Shia? There is no Shia. The same way there's no color, there's no din that an esrog has to be yellow, says Tosfos. There's no din that an esrog has to be the right size. There is no such halacha. So that's why Tosfos says you're going to have to be a child of Ksusim Echta Shiure. Ksusim Echta Shiure means there's no Shia. So it's not a kibetza. Shkoich. Who cares it's not a kibetza? It's kosher anyway. Ksusim Echta Shiure doesn't detract from the Gemar Pri part. Gemar Pri is a halacha botanist. Ksusim Echta Shiure is a din halacha. So the reason why Tosfos wasn't comfortable applying the rule of Ksusim Echta Shiure to the Shiur of Kebe'egaz and Kebeitza was not because it was a physical Shiur, was because it wasn't a Shiur altogether. Because Balei Tosfos believed that the Shiur is the Shkin Shiur, the same way they said the color is the Shkin color. But Im Timtzei Leimi, you find the Shiur that is a non-negotiable, it's a Chayk V'Layavo Shiur. We will never ever camp, we'll never ever be Mevatazan in that Shiur, but it's only physical in nature. Al Zeh Nema Ksusim Echta Shiur. Tosfos has no qualms, they have no hesitation applying Ksusim Echta Shiur. That's exactly what Tosfos says. In the continuation, that's what Tosfos says. Afal Gav, back to Tosfos Laman Amin Allah for a minute. Afal Gav, the minimum of Kavan, Taya Mishim Gulog Mapera, become Mokom, Be'im Demikal Kichosa. Nimkal Kichosa is an absolute, not a halacha, but it's absolute, it's non negotiable. Nothing could ever be done to remove that Shiur of Nimkal Kichosa. And therefore, so the feeling is that the correct way to read the Tosfos is not to tell me that Tosfos is saying that Metzia Shiurim are not subject to Ksusim Echta Shiurim. The exact opposite is true. Even Metzia Shiurim such as Minkal and Kichosa are subject to Ksusim Echta Shiurim. But Shiurim that don't exist altogether, that are just we made up as measuring rods, those are not Shiurim. So it comes out there are really three different dagas, three kinds of Shiurim tonight. There are Shiurim which are absolute halachic Shiurim. There are shurim that have to be met because of some physical reality. And then there are things that are shurim altogether. They're just convenience shurim. But they're not real, they're not nishtalach shurim, nishpitzir shurim. They're just ways for the average person to measure whether we've reached the halachic criteria of Gemar Pri or not. So shurim of halacha are for sure ksusim echta shurim. Shurim that are just made believe, just measuring rods, are for sure not ksusim echta shurim. And it's the middle kind of shiurim that we thought Tosfos was saying one thing, but now we're backtracking and saying, no, Tosfos is probably saying those kinds of shiurim are subject to ksusim echta shiurim. So we spent a lot of time on the shiur of an esrog, but remember we started off by saying ksusim echta shiurim is something that appears in other mitzvahs as well. So there may be other sugyas that are going to impact in this discussion. So let's take a look at a gemara that appears in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. And see where this Gemara will or will not take us vis-a-vis Ksusim Echta Shiurim. So let's take a look at the Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. On Daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis. It's about 12 lines up from the bottom of the page of Chav Zayin Amud Beis. The first one line is Nishtayer. So at the end of the line, the Gemara says, "Bekama Shir Tkiya." What's the Shir of a Tkiya? This is a little bit misleading. It doesn't mean how long the Tkiya has to last. It really means how big a shofar has to be. That's the phrase that the Chazal uses for some strange reason. Usually tkiya means the sound. You know, it's referring to the size of the shofar. Kamashir tkiya. How big does the tkiya have to be? How big is the shofar have to be? Pirish or Mishir Megamlio. Kedei sheyechazena biyadai v'yiro lekan lekan. The shofar has to be big enough you could put it in your hand and you could see the shofar protruding on both sides. If you can't see the shofar protruding, it's too small. That's the shear. Almost like the Nikola Kichos a little bit. You have to be able to see the shofar from both sides. That's the shear of shofar. Where in the world did that shear come from? Who made up that shear? What is this correspond? What kind of din is this? What kind of shear is this? That the shear of the shofar has to be such and such a size. So if we take a look at the Rosh in the third parak of Maseches Rosh Hashanah and Siman Vav, right? Gimel Siman Vav. It's two lines from the end of the first column of the Rosh, right? Gimel Siman Vav. Two lines from the bottom of the first column. So it's the end of the line. The Kamashir Tkiya. How big is the Shofar to be? Pirush Rosh Hashanah Gamliel. Kedei Sheyechazenu Biyada Biyara Lekan Lekan Ar HaTefach. So it quotes the Gemara and then he adds on Ar HaTefach. By the way, in case you don't know, says the Rosh, that shear happens to correspond to a Tefach. Kedamid Rebrek of Apelas, the shear Shofar Tefach. He wants to be Pirush Rosh Hashanah Nidah. That is the shear. That's the Tefach. So now the Rosh is bothered why we have two Gemaras that talk about this minimum size of a shofar. One gives an absolute objective number of tefach, and one gives a kind of a funny shear of asking big enough to protrude from your hand. Why does the Gemara use this strange lashon? The Farish Atam says the Rosh, the reason why Chazal used the phrase of Kedesh Chazenu Lekan Lekan to explain the reason for the shear in the first place. Lama nosnu bo shear tefach. Why did they give a shear tefach? Kedei shechazenu atakeh biyadai, v'yir lakan lakan, v'lo yayimru l'soch yadai hu tekeya. Nobody should say, he's not holding a shofar. Nobody should say, he's blowing into his, he's making a good noise, he's making kishram trua, key out of his hands, out of his fingers. So to offset that concern, lest somebody think that he's not blowing into a shofar, therefore the halacha requires that the shear shofar has to be X. So basically, if you just read this Rosh alone, I'll ask you the following question. Who is responsible for the shear? Who made up the shear? Now, our initial take, whenever you see a shear, you always think, shear and halacha mashma sinai, right? I have strong reason to believe this shear is not a shear halacha mashma sinai. Two reasons. First of all, diktuk. Lama nosnu bo, nosnu is lashon rabim. Baruch Shalom is echad nishma echad. Chachamim are lashon rabim. Lama nosnu bo shear tefach is the rabbanon speaking. Why Chazal institute the shear is a tefach? And number two, this reason, shalom yayim l'sach yadot ke, this is their raisa. I mean, come on. It sounds like a bar zion. It sounds like a very, very, far-fetched chashash. Rabban Chazal was so concerned. Lest somebody make a terrible mistake and think the guy's blown into his hand. It's a very derabbanan thing, but that doesn't sound to me like a shir deraisa. So the pashas in the Rosh is that the whole shir of tkiya shofar of tefach hakol mikol kol is only a din with the rabban. Now that poses a problem. This Rosh poses a big problem. Because if you take a look on Daf Kaf Chesem and Aleph in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, what tells us, let's take a look at B'shofar Shel Eri Nachas. It's the first one line is Shel Avodah Zarah. It's about more than two-thirds of the way down, approximately. First one is Shel Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, B'shofar Shel Eri Nachas, If you have a shofar that came from the nidachas lo yitke, you can't use it to blow him. Toka lo yotze, you're not yotze, my timer. Your nidachas ksusimech teshirei. Because your nidachas is ksusimech teshirei, and therefore it's as if it doesn't exist. The pashtus in this gemara is that this is a dimidaraisa. The gemara says lo yotze, your mamash not yotze, even the evidence not yotze. It's gemara, you're wasting your time and blowing the shofar of nidachas. It sounds like the natoria not yotze, and the gemara identifies the reason being ksusimech teshirei have a big problem. If the Rosh is right, that the whole shiur for a shofar is only a din deran nechumah derabam derais, there's no shiur for a shofar. So what's fak susimech the shiur? Remember last week from the Ran, we said the Ran tells us susimech shiur only applies when something has a shiur. Let's say a get. You wouldn't say susimech shiur on a get, the Ran says, because a paper in the get doesn't have a shiur. You could write the smallest possible, whatever you can write on. As long as you can read the letters, that's good enough for a get. So there's no shiur for a paper of a get. So according to the Rosh, if you ask Moshe Rabbeinu, what's the shiur for a shofar? There is no shiur for a shofar. So if there's no shiur for a shofar, so what's the shiur for a shofar? The shiur should be a place with the raisa. But this whole Gemara Rashan is only a psul derabban. It doesn't sound that way from the Gemara. So it's a palagopal on the shiur of Rosh. How could the Rosh say that shiur for a shofar applies to shofar if the whole shiur for a shofar is only a psachum with the derabban anyway? So the Mishnah Berurah actually is bothered with this kasha. The Be'alocha Nuch HaShofar, the Be'alocha throws his hands up and says, according to the Rosh, there has to be a shiur shofar midiraisa. There's got to be. It must be a shiur shofar midiraisa. It's not the shiur protruding your hand. That's a chum midiraban. No sub chum shiur. So what's the shiur midiraisa? Says the Mishnah Berurah. Stom the shiur midiraisa is big enough that it'll make a sound. Stom if you have a tiny, tiny, tiny horn, you're gonna blow it. It's gonna come out of it. So the shiur midiraisa is the ability to blow it. That's the shiur midiraisa. And then with the Rabbanan, they tacked on this added shiur, shalom yom usach yadur tekeh. That's the shiur deraisa. The Rabbi said, if that's the shiur deraisa, that's the best shiur deraisa we can come up with. What kind of shiur deraisa is that? That's a halachic shiur. It's chametziyah, shem chametziyah, shem chametziyah. And it still lends itself to susimech the shiur, right? Halachor, you see, right, from this rush, from this Mishnah Berurah, it's pure, but that's a rush. Even shiurim, which are purely mitzias in nature, they're also ksusimech to shiurim. But not everyone agrees to this rush. There's the Tosfos that says that the shiur of tefach for a shofar is a shiur deraisa. And if it's a shiur deraisa, so then we understand what ksusimech to shiurim applies to it. It's not based on any maiselach of people who are going to think you belong to your hand. It's not based on a built-in. It's a shiur, that's the shiur deraisa. It's part of the shiur in deraisa, is that it has to be big enough to protrude from your hand. And that's why it's susimech the shiur. If you take a look at Rashi, and Rashi Kavches Menaf, Rashi seems to bear this shot out. Because when the Gemara says susimech the shiur, Rashi says, now the straight for koi chesor of dung, the shofar by shiur, k'damin in liel, the shechzen biel liel kalaka. Rashi references, vos is the shiur of a shofar that we can invoke susimech the shiur on. Rashi says, the shiur of chavzayim v'beis, k'desh yuel kalaka. According to the Rosh, that's not the shiur, that's the engine driving susimech teshurim. Because that's only a shiur derabanan. The Rosh, the engine that's driving susimech teshurim by shofar is the other shiur, the shiur deraisa of that has to be able to make a sound. So, l'cheir, we have a machlekes rishonim here. What is the shiur shofar? What is the deraisa of shiur shofar? Is this some kind of an objective halachic shiur of yaitze l'kan l'kan? Finished on asking the questions. There's no reason, no rhyme and reason for it. It's a kach nemer alach moshe v'sinai. That's how Tosfos seems to say, that's what Rashi seems to say. And that enables us to say susimech the shiur. Or do we go down the route of the Rosh? Mishnah Berurah explains that now the shiur by the Rabbanan, the make-believe shiurim, or even the deraisas, the physical shiurim, the achol pichain is the susimech the shiurim. So we seem to have a major machlokes rishonim here. Is susimech the shiurim limited to the halachic shiurim? Or does it apply even to the physical shiurim? So again, we've seen this shaila time and time again. We've seen the shaila first by Esrog, with all the reading, the razzle-dazzle back and forth in the Tosfos. The Tosfos created, there are actually three shiurim. And then we have a second application of the shaila, vis-a-vis the kiyah shofar, because we're not quite sure what the shiur shofar is all about, physical halachic nature. So when we start off the sugya, we said that there are multiple mitzvahs we have to look at to see when susimech shiur appears and whether the shiur in question is a halach shiur or physical shiur. So we've done two so far. We had shofar and we had Esrog. We have one more to do. Hopefully, Mitzvah, we'll have to pick it up next week. And that's the shiur for Chalitza Shu. We spoke a little bit about that in a previous shiurim. Do we say Ksusimech Teshuva by Chalitza Shu or not? And should we or should we not?
what is the nature of the Shia Vechanitza Shu? So we still have a lot of work to do for the Shem next week. So for the next week, the Metzim will continue with the Sugyas and Yevamas to try to shed a little bit more light on this fundamental question of when you do or do not take Sismet Shu. Okay, what about